Today our text is from 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 1 through 15 from the Pew Bible. Page number is 334. If you want to look at the Bible and the pew and the chair, back of your chair, you can open to 334. If you have your own Bibles, you can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 1 through 15. That is our text today. Let's pray before we reading the scriptures today. Dear Heavenly Father, we are ready to open our hearts again, giving our hearts and refocusing our minds and hearts onto your word. Would you please help us to understand that so many things that are in our hearts may be distracting us, try to steal our hearts from your word, but we need your help, Lord, and send your Holy Spirit, and please speak to us from your scripture. We pray your son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of God from 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 1 through 15. An interesting story that we're going to read. Chapter 12 verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought, and he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with a sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, and child who is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. One day, the prophet Nathan visited King David. Since the prophet Nathan was a prophet of the word for his country, David welcomed him and wondered why he came. Nathan visited him. As soon as Nathan came into and David's place, he began telling a sad story, which is we just read. There was a rich man who had many flocks and herds. One day a traveler visited the rich man. In their culture, the rich man had to prepare a nice meal to serve in for his visitor. However, he didn't want to kill one of his lambs or things to serve the guest. But he knew that his poor neighbor had a lamb. He knew that his neighbor's lamb was not his. But it didn't matter because he didn't want to kill his own lamb. So he took his neighbor's lamb. Literally, he stole it. There was a poor man who did not have much, but only one precious lamb. I'd like to read text again, and our text says, "But the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought, and he brought it up, and it grew with him and with his children, so precious. He used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. The lamb was like a daughter to him." When Nathan finished telling the story, King David got so angry and saying, that is our verse in 5 and 6, "As the Lord lives," he was shouting and yelling, "and the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." King David wanted to bring justice. Nathan waited for that moment and said, "You are the man." David could not say any word. How? No. God loved him. So God blessed him a lot. King David had everything. Yet he wanted to have one more, someone else's wife. So he took the woman, someone else's wife. Not only he took the woman, but he also killed her husband, a faithful soldier. God gave him everything. However, David was not satisfied. He wanted more and more. And we see ourselves in David's life. God blessed us with many things. Sometimes we cannot imagine that we have these things. But still we want more and more. Now we have come to the very last commandment from the Ten Commandments. It says from the Exodus 20 in verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife and his manservant, the maidservant, his ox or donkey, and anything that belongs to your neighbor." Like other commandments, the last commandment is very straightforward for us and easy to understand for everyone. Sometimes people understand this particular commandment like this: "You shall not covet." That's it. Like the other commandments, it looks very familiar to us. However, here is a difference between the other nine commandments versus this ten, the last commandment. All other commandments are talking about it, our deeds and attitudes toward God or toward our neighbors, basically. But the last commandment is talking about something different, the matter of our heart. So today we will be bringing our attention to our hearts. your heart and my heart. We'll be talking about heart. Our heart before God. We know that the government can punish murderers and burglars and other people, criminals. And a church can discipline adulterers and some other things. But we know that God goes deeper and further in the 10th commandment. God wants us to have pure and clean hearts above all. And God warns us that we should not set our hearts on something and wrong desires, something else. That's what King David did. He set his heart on something. And so do we. This is what a theologian says based on the Heidelberg Catechism. God comes to us with this in a final commandment as the judge, who knows the deepest recesses of our heart and therefore is able to condemn even the slightest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments. Even little tiny thing, God knows. Here is a good example from the Bible. One time Jesus says, Matthew 5:27, "You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery." In verse 28, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery." Last phrase is striking. "With her in his heart." By reading what Jesus said about adultery, now we can see that the core of his teaching was not about merely about deeds and actions, but deep inside of our hearts, inner being, inner hearts. God doesn't merely want us to superficially keep all the laws, 1 through 9, 1 through 10. But he wants you and me to keep all the commandments with our pure hearts. Keeping our hearts in pure and holy all the time, that is what God is trying to say from the 10th commandment. That is why God gives us the 10th commandment. And after talking about all 9 commandments, more than anything else, our hearts matter before God, matter to Him. God wants to secure our hearts from the worldly temptations. There are so many temptations out there. While we are looking at the outward appearance of people, and we judge people by their deeds and actions, but our God doesn't focus on our outward appearance. It is what's on and in, inside of our hearts, that matters most to Him. Actually, it is good news for us. It is our joy to know that God does not look at our outward appearances, but inside in our hearts. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. God chose to love you and me. And He calls you and me as His children. Not because of we are better than anyone else, but because of God's love and grace. That's why Paul, his teaching is so meaningful and precious for all of us about God's love. Paul says, Romans 5:8, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, we should not forget this. While no one sees our heart, God sees and He knows what is inside of our hearts." Then based on the 10th commandment, we can ask the following simple questions maybe. Where is my heart today? What is sitting in my heart today? Do we really set our hearts on something else rather than our Lord Jesus Christ, or something happening in our hearts? Are we giving our whole entire heart to the Lord, or are we superficially serving and worshiping the Lord? Do we love our God with all our hearts and minds? Maybe it's not easy question to answer, because we know that one thing. We know that our hearts are always drifting away from our Lord Jesus Christ. Just one second. We are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ here and today, but as soon as we walk out of the door, just something happened to us. We just lose our mind. We are always basically struggling with our hearts, keeping our hearts. Too many temptations are stealing our hearts from the Lord. Too many things around us are stealing our hearts from the Lord. One of the teachings from the 10th commandment is about our wrong desires. God forbids us to set our desires on wrong things, such as our neighbor's house and wife and property and even money and power and honor. We have to remember that not all desires are bad things. We should desire spiritual gifts from the Lord Jesus Christ. We should desire sharing the good news with unreached people around us. As Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, as we sang this morning. We have to put our desires for that, on that. I wanted to say that it is our call. God calls you and me to bear His holy name, to be witness to the world for His kingdom. But as we already know, our hearts are vulnerable to the worldly things. So our hearts can easily be distracted, and we set our hearts on wrong things. And this is the beginning of our journey to the world of coveting. And we begin to covet things around us. I want that. I want that. It happens to me. One day the King David saw a beautiful woman from his house, Bathsheba. As he found out that she was a wife of one of his soldiers, by the law, he should not look at her, should not take her, should not commit adultery. As a king of Israel, he knows the law, but unfortunately, he wasn't immune to this sin, this horrible sin. He could not handle his wrong desire. Oh, no, I really want to have her. Yet he coveted his soldier's wife. He set his mind and heart on wrong desire on someone else's wife. And eventually he called her in and broke the 7th commandment. You shall not commit adultery. The story does not end here. In order to cover his horrible sin, just to lie, David secretly arranged a plan to kill the soldier Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. And he took her as his wife. We know that this is a horrible story from the Bible. How can you do that? We should ask, where was David's heart at that time? Where was his heart? We all know then how the Bible describes David from the New Testament, Acts 13:22. A man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. David was the one who truly loved God, and God always loved him. Then how could a man like David break God's commandment? Not only one, but many. Think about it. He committed adultery. He murdered an innocent man. He lied to cover his sin. And he coveted his neighbor's wife. Four. That's amazing. What was going on with this man in his heart? This man who was after God's own mind and God's heart, where is his heart? David made a huge mistake in his life before God because of his wrong desires. And his wrong desires drove him crazy every day. Because of his wrong desire, he set an evil plan to take someone else's wife. Because of his wrong desire, he planted a seed of coveting in his heart. Because of his wrong desire, he brought God's calamity upon his family. That's our text. Because of his wrong desire. God says, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own wife. Verse 10. Now, this story gives us many good lessons. We are not immune to any temptations around us. Our hearts are vulnerable to many worldly temptations, such as money, honor and power, and even property, someone else's cars and house, land, drugs, and even sex. David was a king of Israel. Remember that. He was supposed to be the best example to everybody about God's love and God's mercy. But he didn't. Why? Because of his wrong desire on something. All his sins were simply began with his wrong desire for a woman. I believe that the same thing will be true for all of us. Just one wrong desire can completely destroy our lives. One wrong desire can ruin our relationship with God, even our relationship with our family, our friends. Because of our wrong desires, we might suffer for the rest of our lives, as God said to David. And this is what God says, verse 11 and 12 in our text. This is what the Lord says, out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. I'm reading the NIV version. When David took Uriah's wife, I'm pretty sure he thought, oh, no one knows this. But you know what? God knows. God knows it because God reads his heart. Our hearts matter to God. What are you desiring this morning? What are we desiring this morning? As I mentioned already, not all our desires are wrong. We must desire many good things. And God allows us to have many good desires. Are we desiring for God's abundant blessings for our family and friends, ourselves and church and all our ministries? Yes. Are we desiring for spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God? Yes. Are we desiring for sharing the gospel? So in your heart, you cannot handle that desire, just perking and moving your heart that, okay, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that desire? The gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. You can't just stay there. Just go and tell.
What are we desiring today? What's in our heart today? What is in our heart? Oftentimes we store up wrong desires, having wrong desires in our hearts because of a lack of gratitude and satisfaction. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 21, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his maidservant, manservant, maidservant, his oxen, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Now, but we want those. I want those. Because what? Because we don't have them. Because we are not satisfied what we have. Therefore, we set our hearts on them because we are not happy with our circumstances. And then we know that our hearts can be easily hijacked by all these things in the world. And this is what Jesus says from Luke 12:15. Take care. And be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This is what God said to David through the mouth of the prophet Nathan. Our text, verse 7 and 9. Listen carefully. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Verse 9. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? Who gives everything? Who gives us our houses? Who gives us our jobs and everything what we have? Who gives us family? Who blesses us? David forgot one thing. He forgot one thing. God gave him everything. Let's hear what God says to him again. God said, I would have given you even more. Are we satisfied with what we have right now, today? Are we really satisfied with our circumstances, our jobs, our cars, our houses? Where is our heart today? Our hearts begin to desire, you know, wrong things, either when we don't know who gives us everything what we have, or when we are not satisfied with things what we have. Then remember what Jesus says. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Are we satisfied with just the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else? When we think about his name, when we hear, when we say his name, we just say, Lord, thank you so much. We are fine. Although we don't have things somebody has. Although we don't have money. Although we don't have health. Although we don't have nothing. We have nothing. But we are blessed by your name. Where is our heart? Where is your heart? There was a weird-looking, red, ugly, brick-shaped building in Anchorage, Alaska. I still remember that.
from the outside, the design of the building was really ugly, and I always thought that it's inefficient. Why people build a building like that? And it is a government building. I'm not saying the government, they're using ugly buildings, but it is the building for the FBI in Alaska. It's in downtown, in the middle of downtown. And I always wondered why the FBI uses this weird-looking, ugly building as their office. If you watch any movie, you know, FBI is using wonderful, nice building here and there in New York and Chicago. And they could have a really nice building in town in Alaska. And then one day I had an opportunity to visit the FBI building, and I realized something. Maybe the truth, the building looks really ugly. It's ugly. But the building was not inefficient at all. Rather, it seems to me that the building is like a fortress. I see the fences over here and there. I thought anybody can just jump over there, but I found that it's not. I don't know that the building was originally designed for the FBI or somebody else, but I figure that it is the best building for the FBI. Why? The main door is tightly secured. The door is not a regular door. It's really thick and tightly secured door and locked, so no one can just enter the building without permission. And at the main entrance, two or three security officers are always watching you outside. And all the surveillance cameras around the building. It's not only one, so many cameras around the building. And the security officers scan you when you enter the building with a metal detector before you finally enter the real building. And the inside of the building is also well designed. It's like a maze. I couldn't find a way to go. To protect the FBI agents and employees. And then I thought, if the North Korea attacks us, I will go to the FBI building and I will hide there. You should join me. And now how about our hearts? Think about that way. Are our hearts secured with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our hearts widely or open to worldly temptations say, "Oh, can anybody come and steal my heart?" How about this question? Are our hearts secured with God's commandments that we've been looking at? The Ten Commandments. It is true that our hearts, we are vulnerable to many temptations, but can we build a spiritual fortress in our hearts? Can we? With the teaching from the Bible, with the Ten Commandments. Is that possible? I think so. We can set up many spiritual surveillance cameras around us. Every corner of our lives. We can examine our own desires every day. Oh, this is no good. Take that out. God doesn't want that heart in my heart. Get out of my heart. With the Word of God and with God's commandments, can we? Why not? What is in our heart today? We should focus our hearts, not something else, but our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to put our effort in everything. Let's give our attention and heart to Jesus Christ. Let's lock our heart for the kingdom of God, for our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you desiring today? So many things, right? But let's desire things for the kingdom of God, His kingdom. For example, the blessings for our church. Do you have that desire that, Lord, would you please bless New Hope Christian from church so that the name of the Lord will be
will be honored and glorified through our ministries. Lord, do you have that desire, burning desire?
This week, Pastor Perry sent us an email and he asked us to pray for our Sunday school and other programs. And I don't know if you read or not, but when I read that email, I felt, wow, this is desire that we all should have. The desire for praying together, gathering together for our church, for the kingdom of God and Sunday school, all the programs. Filling our hearts with that mind. Lord, nothing else, but we are here to pray, to glorify you for your kingdom. Desire of prayer. That is a teaching that we can learn from the 10th commandment. Where is your heart today? What is your desire? Let's open our great hymnals, page number 915. We're going to read the Heidelberg Catechism as our conclusion today, 915. Lord's Day 44, questions 113 and 14 and 115, three questions and three answers. Please join me. I would like to read questions and please read the answers. 113. What is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? But can those converted to God obey these commandments perfectly? Final one. No one in this life can obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. Why then does God want them preached so pointedly?
First, so that the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness, and the more eagerly look to Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. Second,
basically, summary of my sermon, what is in your heart? And God is renewing our hearts with His promise. And this phrase caught our hearts today. The more eagerly look for Christ. We cannot keep all these things perfectly. That's why we are looking for His presence. We're looking for His mercy. Without our Lord Jesus Christ, we can't. More eagerly look for Christ. That is something that we have to put in our heart today. Looking for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us a wonderful journey to the Ten Commandments over the months. We are challenged by these commandments because we know that we cannot keep these commandments perfectly. That's why we are discouraged. But we are not discouraged because we have our Lord Jesus Christ,
who is the promise from God and who kept all the commandments perfectly. So Lord, would you please come to our heart today and clean our heart. So many things in our hearts that you don't want, just clean them and give us your peace so that we will refocus and we will re-give our attention to you today, filling our heart with only you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.